Yeah, store's open. Truth is, as much as I tried to make hours and do it early every year, still by the Siyum on Friday morning, we're selling chametz. Okay, so let's say, so today's daf is Nun Zayin. We are picking up on Nun Vav Amud Beis, actually all the way on the bottom of the daf. So remember again, Gemara is going to pick up a story. Ach say Rabbi Chama, literally the last line. So Ach say Rami Bar Chama, Havis Nesibas L'Rav Avya. So the sister of Rabbi Chama, Rami Bar Chama, was married to Rav Avya. What happened? Top of Nun Zayin. Erkis Ksuvasa. She lost her Ksuva. Asa Lekame D'Rav Yosef. So they came before Rav Yosef. Amar Lehu. Hachi Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Vachachamim Omrim. Masha Adam Es Ishto Shtayim V'Shalosh Shonim B'lo Ksuva. So what's that? Remember. So what happens? So now you have this woman, the sister of Rabbi Chama, who was married to Rav Avya, lost her Ksuva. They come before Rav Yosef to ask what to do. Rav Yosef said, "It's machlokes in Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in terms of if a woman goes ahead and loses her ksuva." Well, actually, let me say it differently. The machlokes Chachamim Rabbi Meir is the machlokes that was quoted in our Mishnah, which was Rabbi Meir was the one who said that kol apoches lebesula pachos mimasayim. If you go ahead and you diminish the ksuva of a besula less than 200 zuz, so the halacha is that it is a beilas znus. It is like engaging in immorality. And therefore, again, Rabbi Meir would say that in the event that a woman lost her ksuva, what would have to happen? Husband would have to write a new one immediately. Because remember, Rabbi Meir's whole shita is that the absence of a ksuva creates what we call lo samcha daita. She's unable or unwilling to fully commit, so to speak, to the marriage. I mean, they're married, but she feels very insecure with the absence of the ksuva. Therefore, in order to make sure that the bia is a regular bia, not a bias nus, Rabbi Meir would require you to go ahead and write a ksuva. On the other hand, the Chachamim say, if you don't have a ksuva, even for 2 or 3 years, it's okay. Now, I will say, now the logic of the Chachamim is what? That since ksuva is tenai bezdin, so every woman has a ksuva, even if what? Even if she does not have a document. Now, Rabbi Meir doesn't necessarily contest that idea. What Rabbi Meir says is that for the security of a woman, for a woman to feel secure that she indeed has a ksuva, she actually has to have a document. So, Amar Abaye. So, Abaye said, "Vaha Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Meir Bigzerosav," and yet Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel that Halacha Vaz Rabbi Meir in his decrees. Ihachi, if that's the case, Zil Ksovla, go and write her another ksuva. So Rav Yosef quoted this whole discussion, and the bottom line was that the husband should go ahead and write his wife. The husband of Avya should write his wife another ksuva. Ultimately, again, in order to go ahead and ensure that she has smichas das. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here. If you look, okay, zil kasavla ksuva achrisi. Go write her another ksuva. V'hadarmin alaelo kasavla ksuva besula gavim asayim v'okim no kavim meir hasam amakom shin kosvin ksuva dekulu atnaik asamchi. So what's it? And Rashi points out, even though we said before that if you don't write the ksuva, a woman, a besula still has a ksuva of 200 zuz, that was talking about in a place where they did not traditionally write a ksuva, but where the ksuva ultimately was written, then Lamaisik and Rabbi Meir would hold that if she lost the ksuva, the husband should go ahead and write her another ksuva. Now, the top Rashi, the Rashi that starts Zudiv Rabbi Meir, also comments on this, and Rashi says, I'll just read to you 3 lines into this Rashi. He says, V'hachin ad Rabbi Meir hu da'asr lashos isha sha'adda shtar ksuvasa. A man has to be careful to take care of a situation where the woman lost her ksuva. V'afilu isla de'lamafsa da'bahachi de'gavi b'tanai bezdin mi'alo samchadayter. I will say Rabbi Meir holds that if a woman loses her ksuva, then halacha lemaisa, the man is not permitted to live with her until he goes ahead and writes her another ksuva. And therefore, again, this is all an issue of samcha daita. Samcha daita means, again, her ability to fully, quote-unquote, to commit to the marriage because she has the security of a ksuva. But if she doesn't have that security, then according to Rabbi Meir, this will become a bilas znus. So we'll say, therefore, Rav Yosef said to Rav Avya, if your wife lost her ksuva, make sure to write to another. Now, you should know this is halacha lemaisa. It is very important that to know that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins,
that if a woman loses her ksuva, husband and wife may not live together until ultimately he writes her another ksuva, which is why it's important for a woman to know where a ksuva is. I mean, if you have one of those artistic ksuvas that hang on your wall, it's easy to know where it is. But if you don't have a ksuva that hangs on your wall, it's always important for a woman to know where her ksuva is. And literally, and it's also important, sometimes people find a mistake in their ksuva. And they say, okay, you know, we'll get around to it. No, no, no. If there's a mistake in the ksuva and the ksuva is invalid, that must be rectified immediately. Or, again, you don't have to have another wedding, right? But that must be rectified immediately, and a man and wife are not permitted to live together in the absence of a ksuva. Now, it's interesting. Some of the posts can bring down a very simple answer. So let's say a man discovers, you're cleaning for Pesach, and the woman discovers, I can't find my ksuva, and it's 11 o'clock at night, and you're not going to call the rabbi. You're not going to call the rabbi, right? Yeah. Unless someone died, you are not going to call the rabbi, right? So it's interesting. So some of the contemporary posts can bring down that what a husband can do is a husband can write a check to his wife. Because essentially, a ksuva is a promise to pay, and the ksuva also is a promise to pay. So technically speaking, as a stopgap measure, a husband could write a check to his wife for a significant amount of money. The post can bring down, it has to be for at least $10,000, because that's the basic ksuva is worth more than that. But it has, now again, that's true, by the way, even if you don't have money in that account. This still works. Here, honey. Here's a credit card. I canceled it too, right? You know, so the idea over here is,
what happens if the check bounces?
Marshall, you have to at least be seated to ask the question. There's no, right? So the idea over here is that it's exactly, right? So it has to be a promise to pay. So the idea over here is that's what the post can bring down as a stopgap measure. Obviously, we don't want the couple to rely on that. We want them to go ahead and write a new ksuva. But again, in an extenuating circumstance where they can't get a new ksuva written now, and husband does not want to leave the house for that night, he can write the check, and halacha lemaisa, that satisfies the din. Now the Gemara is going to go back. We're going to spend a little bit of time on this until we get to the Mishnah, trying to frame the machlokes. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda. Remember again, we had a three machlokes on Nun Vav Amud Beis about whether or not a woman is able to be mocha the ksuva. So Rabbi Meir says there is no mechila by the ksuva. There is no mechila by the ksuva, because again, if you try to diminish the ksuva amount for a besula or for a beula, then again, it's a bi'ilas nus. Rabbi Yossi says she could even be mocheles alpe. She could even verbally forgive the ksuva. And Rabbi Huda holds that lemaisa, you can go ahead and you could forgive the ksuva only in writing. So Rabbi Meir is out of the equation right now, because Rabbi Meir does not buy into the notion that you could forgive some part of the ksuva. However, again, the Gemara now is trying to frame the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda. Under what circumstances is one permitted to go ahead and forgive the ksuva? So the Gemara says like this. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says in Rabbi Kafra, machlokes betchila, the machlokes is only in the beginning. Now we're going to define what these words mean in just a little bit. The machlokes is only in the beginning. Aval basof, ledivrei hakol ino mochelis. But at the end, she may not go ahead and be mochel. What does this mean? Rabbi Yochanan says no. Bein bezu machlokes. We'll say first wide line. But Rabbi Yochanan says no. Both in the beginning and the end, she could be mochelis. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Bein bezu machlokis. The machlokis, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, applies both in the beginning and in the end. So what's this? I'm Rabbi Avo, ledidi mefarshi limineid Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Avo said, I heard that regarding Rabbi Yochanan's statement, Anav Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi lo palgin adadid, that Rabbi Yochanan said, I and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi are not really arguing. My bitchila dekam Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. What does it mean when Rabbi Yoshua said that she could be mochel in the beginning? In the beginning, my bitchila. Dekam Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Tchilas chuppah. Tchila means the beginning of the chuppah. The Jabos, in other words, that a woman can be mochel. Essentially, what the Gemara is going to say over here is that when could a woman be mochel her ksuva, be mochel her ksuva, before she has fully acquired or been fully vested in the rights of the ksuva. At that point in time, before she becomes fully vested, she could be mocheles. Once she becomes fully vested, she can no longer be mocheles. So therefore, the Gemara says, so tchilas chupa. So that's the my sof. What does it mean at the end, where he said that she can no longer be mocheles? Sof bia. That refers at the end of the first act of bia, at which point in time she's become fully vested, and therefore, can no longer forgive her rights in the ksuva. V'chi ka'imna ana. And I, when I said my piece, that both in this and that, there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. So I felt, what does that mean? Tchilas chuppah, v'sof chuppah, dehi tchilas biyah. So I felt that they do argue both in the case of tchilas chuppah, which Rabbi Yoshua agrees with, and sof chuppah, which is tchilas biyah, which even according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi would be a time where she's not yet fully vested in the ksuva, because according to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, she's not fully vested in the ksuva until when? Until sof biyah, the end of the biyah. Fine. He asked Ravin, when Ravin came along, he said, Aram Shem Ben Pazi, I'm Rabbi Shem Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kafra, Machlokes Libasof. The Machlokes between Abosin, again, remember, just to keep ourselves grounded here, we're just trying to frame the Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Until at what point in time is a woman permitted to go ahead and be Mocheles on the Ksuva? At what point in time? So we're just trying to figure out, everybody's going to agree, essentially, that she could be mocheles until the point that she becomes fully vested in the ksuva. The shaila is, at what point in time does she indeed become fully vested? So now we have another version of this. So ki asa ravin amrav shem mepazi amrav shem ben levi mishum bar kafra. Machlokes lebasof. The machlokes is at the end. Again, we'll define what that term means. Ava betchila, but in the beginning, divrei hakol mocheles. Everyone agrees she can be mochel. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bein bezu u bein bezu machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, both in the beginning and in the end there's a machlokes. And I'm Rabbi Avohu, l'didi mefarsh liminit Rabbi Yochanan. I heard that Rabbi Yochanan said, da'an Rabbi Yoshua malevi lo palkin na'adadi, that Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yeshua and I are not really arguing. How so? My libasof, I'm Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. When Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said that libasof, at the end, everyone agrees that she may not be mocheles. What does sof mean? Sof chuppah. That means the end of the chuppah. Umay tchila. And what does tchila mean? What meaning at that point? That's they have machlokes. What does that mean? Umay tchila. Tchilas chuppah. V'chi ka'amina ana bein bazu machlokes. And when I said that Rabbi Yossi argue bein bazu tchilas bia v'sof bia. I said that it refers to tchilas bia, which is sof chopa, and sof bia. Amra papa, ilav to amra biavo, the didimi farshli mined Rabbi Yochanan. The honor Rabbi Yoshua and Levi Lopal Ginan Aadadi. So Rabbi Papa comes along and said, if Rabbi Avo would not have made this statement, that Rabbi Yochanan said that I and Rabbi Yoshua and Levi don't really disagree. Have Amina Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua and Levi, Peligi. I would have thought that ultimately, again, they are in fact arguing. Rav Dimi v'Ravin lo pligi, and Rav Dimi and Ravin are not arguing. My sof de ka'amar Ravin. When Ravin was talking about the end, what sof was he referring to? Sof chuppah, the end of the chuppah. Umay tchila de ka'amar Rav Dimi. And what was the beginning, quote unquote, that Rav Dimi was referring to? Tchilas bia, the beginning of the bia. Rabbi says the beginning of the bia ultimately, again, means when husband and wife are secluded, ultimately to consummate their marriage. My kamashmalan. So we'll say, so what does this teach us? Ha kamashmalan de pligi chamarai ataima de nafshahu, for the pligi chamarai aliba de chadamora. This teaches us, so we'll say, that more often than not, when you see machlokis amoraim, they are not disagreeing about what a third amora said, but rather, again, their machlokis is often rooted in a dispute between their own personal opinions. Fine. So what comes out again from this particular sugya, the way we paskin is really based on the Mishnah, that the Mishnah brings down, we hold like Rabbi Meir. And therefore, again, we do not go ahead and diminish the amount of the ksuva at all. Obviously, a woman has certain rights to be mochel, right? Even once the marriage has already begun, because she's no different than any other bal chov. But nevertheless, we follow the mandate of Rabbi Meir that we try at all possible to not diminish the amounts of the ksuva in any way, shape, or form. That's both for the ksuva of a besula as well as for the ksuva of a beula. Says the Mishnah. We'll say new sugya. Another interesting case or set of halachas. Nosin lebeula lebesula shnei masar chodesh mishatava habal. So we'll say we give a besula 12 months to prepare herself from the wedding, from the time that the husband tells her that he wants to get married. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. This is important. He says nosin lebesula zman lechnisas lechupa miyom shetava habal la'achar shekidsha la'asira al iske chupa la'hakin tachshites. Well, so here's what's interesting. So it sounds like from the Mishnah that the way they used to kind of get married was like this. Man would say to a woman, "Hareat mikudeshesli." right? Mm-hmm. Establish Kiddushin. At that point in time, they wouldn't necessarily have a wedding date in mind. Then sometime later on, however, I mean, obviously within a reasonable amount of time, husband would say, okay, let's get started on the wedding preparations. The Mishnah says from the moment that he tells her, you know, let's get started on the wedding preparations, she is given up to 1 year to prepare herself for the wedding. Up to 1 year. Now, what does she do during that year? So Rashi says over here, so first thing is she has to prepare her jewelry. So the Mishnah says, lefarnes es atzma. Now lefarnes atzma literally means to support herself. Rashi says, betachshitin. Ultimately, again, she has to prepare her jewelry. So whatever she was preparing, in times of the Mishnah, took a woman a good year to be able to properly prepare for the wedding. Ukishim shenosnin li'isha. Kach nosnin li'ish lefarnes es atzmo. So we'll say, now remember, what that means is, Abosai, that from the time that he brings up, let's get married. Remember, this is post-kiddushin. So if he says, listen, I want to get married in 3 months from now. If she says, no, I want the year, he can't compel her to get married earlier. And the opposite is true as well. If when he says, let's get married, get ready for the wedding, he says, okay, I need a year to get ready. And she says, no, let's get married in 3 months. She can't compel him. He's also given a year. Lefarnes es atzmo. And we'll say, now, what does it mean, lefarnes es atzmo? Look at Rashi. Betzarchi seuda v'chuppah. Interestingly enough, I guess once upon a time it was the chassan who literally took care of all of these things for the wedding. So literally, again, betzarchi seuda, preparing his seuda, and the chuppah itself. Okay. Ukeshem shlos likach nos, it's fine. Ula amana shloshim yom. But an amana, meaning let's say an amana had kiddushin with a man, so she is only given 30 days to prepare after the husband says, let's get married. Rashi says, Now the assumption is that when a woman gets married, she has all of her wedding jewelry. And therefore, again, the amana does not have to go ahead and start creating new jewelry, but rather what? She uses the same stuff that she had from her first marriage. Therefore, by definition, the preparation time for the amana is not the same. Higiu zman velo nisu. Suppose, let's say now the year elapses and they did not get married. And Rashi points out over here, velo nisu shabaylim ma'akvin. This is a situation where the husband is delaying the wedding for whatever reason. But the year elapses. Ocheles mishalo. So number one, husband is not obligated to support her. So her father, let's say she's living at her father's home, her father can now say, listen, at this point in time, after a year, you are your husband's responsibility, and he is obligated to pick up the tab for your mizonos. Furthermore, v'ochlos b'truma. And if her husband, her chasson, is a kohen, at this point in time, she can begin to eat truma as well. Rabbi Tarfon, I was supposed to say, now there's an interesting discussion. How much truma do we give her? Rabbi Tarfon says, we give her a full diet of truma. We give her all the truma she wants. That sounds good, except there's only one problem. Rabbi Kiva Omer, mechza chulin u mechza chumash. Rabbi Tarfon, I remember again, by definition, there are times of the month when a woman cannot eat truma. When a woman is in nida, she is not permitted to eat truma. So when you Rabbi Tarfon say that we give her all truma, that's very nice, except understand there is a little bit of a problem with that, in that in time of the month when she is in nida, she can't eat that truma. So what does a woman do? So technically speaking, what Rabbi Tarfon says, look, so she could take the truma, she could sell it to Kohanim, she'll take the money, and she'll buy herself chulin. What's the big deal? But we're not going to make the husband give her some chulin, give her some truma. If he's obligated to support her, he could support her in the way that's easiest for him to give her a monthly allotment of truma, let her take care of it. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to give her half chulin and half truma. So Rabbi Akiva says, absolutely not, meaning you have to provide her with the type of food that she could eat throughout the month. So when she's not in either, she'll eat the truma. And when she is in either, she'll go ahead and she will eat the chulin. Hayavam eino ma'achil b'truma. What's another interesting caveat? A yavam does not entitle his wife to truma. I will say, now what does that mean? Let's say, again, husband dies without children. She falls to yibum before her brother-in-law. The fact that she is what's, remember, has that zeka. She has that connection. That zeka does not entitle her to eat truma. The only time she will be able to eat truma is after she actually becomes the wife of the yavam. After she comes fine, you haven't made a machal b'truma. Also, says shisha chadashim b'fnei abal, v'shisha chadashim b'fnei hayavam. But I will say, if she goes ahead now, let's say she was preparing for the wedding for 6 months with her husband, meaning an erusin, and then her husband dies, and now she falls to the Yavam, and it's been 6 months, and the Yavam has not done anything just yet. Even if what? If there was, you know, 11 months and 29 days that she was preparing with the husband, and the husband died. And then again, you know, on the last day of the year that completes the year, she's in front of the Yavam, meaning again, there's a Zekah. So, or she was preparing for the wedding, one day her husband died, and the rest of the time was in front of the Yavam. So, bottom line is the same, which is again, when it comes to Yibum, Yibum follows a totally different set of laws. And although, again, under normal circumstances, if after a year has elapsed and the husband has not yet married her for reasons of his own part, then the Maisi, again, he's obligated to support her. And if she is, and if he is a Kohen, she is entitled to eat Truma. What the Mishnah is telling us is that is only in a normative marriage case, not in a Yibum case. Therefore, for example, if the husband dies and she falls before the Yavam, and for whatever the reason, the Yavam is not yet doing Yibum, even if more than a year elapses, she is not entitled to eat Truma as a result of the Yavam. And of course, in the Gemara, we'll understand why that is.
Is she eating Truma from the estate of the husband, who was also a Kohen? Is it her brother?
Not from Erison. Not if she died from Erison. No. So Zu Mishnah Rishona. This is the first halacha. Remember again, there's no Truma from Erison until after a year elapses. That was the din of the Mishnah. Zu Mishnah Rishona. So we'll say this is the first iteration of the law. However, Beis Din Sha'acharein Amru, but a subsequent Beis Din said, Ein Ha'isha Ocheles B'Truma Ad She'Tikanes L'Chopa. So we'll say in the first version of the law, a woman was permitted to eat Truma even after a year of Erusin. But in the second iteration of the law, a woman cannot eat Truma until after she enters into the Chuppah. Okay, and obviously we'll explain all that Rashi says. Time and Mefarish Big Gemara. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili. So the Gemara asks, where does this come from? Now, where does what come from? Where does the year come from? Meaning, why is it? Meaning, how, now we'll say, what the Gemara is asking is the following. Now, you don't need a scriptural proof that we should give a woman a year to prepare for the wedding, very simply because obviously Chazal didn't pull it out of a hat. They understood, they looked around. That was the amount of time that people needed to, that specifically women really needed in order to be able to get ready. So I don't need a pasuk to support that idea. But what the Gemara is asking is, do we have some type of scriptural allusion to that? So the Gemara says, "Dehaminani mili, amrav chesed amakra, vayomer achiha v'ima teshev hane ara itanu." Yamim Asra. So also remember, this is in Parshas Chayisara. So this is by Lavan. This is right when they're about to send Rivka back with Eliezer to go marry Yitzchak. So when Eliezer says, listen, I want to go home, I want to take Rivka back to marry Yitzchak. So Rivka's brother and her mother say, let the girl stay with us Yamim. Now we'll say Yamim literally means years. O Asor, or 10. So the Gemara says, my Yamim, what does Yamim mean? Ilema treyome, if you want to say it means 2 days, so that can't be why. Ilema treyome, mishtai inish haki amrule, treyome, amrulehu lo, amrule asariyom. So I'll say then the way that would sound like is like this. That what Lavan and his mother are asking for is, look, let Rivka stay here, let Rivka stay here, yamim, 2 days. And if 2 days are not good, let her stay for 10. I suppose say, so that's not normally the way people ask for things, right? Normally you ask for the higher amount first, and then you have, if you can't give me the higher amount, I'll take the lower amount. So the Gemara says, Ella my yamim, rather, what does yamim mean? Shana. Rather, yamim means a year. Dechsev yamim tiyeg ulaso. So also, therefore the Gemara says, that when Lavan says, Teshev hana ara itano yamim, O Asur, so Yamim means a year, and if she can't stay a year, Asur means what? Maybe 10 months. If you don't want to stay a full year, but let her stay here a little bit longer. So the Gemara says, Dechsiv, because you've seen this before, Yamim Tihye Geulaso. The Pasuk says, for Yamim, he shall be able to redeem. What this is referring to over here is what we call a bayis in Ir Choma, a home in a walled city. So the halacha is that a home, if you remember again, when you sell property, you have certain windows of redemption that you could redeem your property. Otherwise, most properties go back to their owners during the Yovel year, with one interesting notable exception, which is homes in a walled city. Homes in walled cities, Rabbi say, you have 1 year after the sale, meaning if I'm the seller, I have 1 year after the sale to redeem that property. If I do not redeem that property belongs to the purchaser forever. it does not come back to the owner even during the Yovel year. It's interesting, just as an aside, the Sefer HaChinuch explains why is that. So Sefer HaChinuch says that very often, walled cities were border cities. Border cities, of course, are responsible for the security of the entire land. You don't want changeover in the population of border cities because you want the residents of border cities, the walled cities, to know the city very well, to know the security very well, and to be able to defend the rest of the inhabitants of the land in the event of an attack. Therefore, we want very little turnover in residents. So therefore, if you want to redeem it in the first year after your purchase, you have seller's remorse, and you want to go back and redeem it, you have that right. But once you did not go ahead and redeem it, then halacha lemaisa, it remains the property of the purchaser forever. So as I say, see over here another context, yamim tiagula. So you see again, yamim in this context also means a year. So here we see that lemaisa again, the word yamim means a year. Now remember, so now we find a biblical example of the family of the girl being asking for a year to prepare their daughter, their sister, for her wedding. So again, here you just see a scriptural allusion to this idea that it takes the basula a year to prepare for the wedding. I the ema chodesh. But 1 second, maybe yamim means a month. The chsiv, because the pasuk says ad chodesh yamim. Because the pasuk says until literally a chodesh yamim, until a month of days. So he says by the slav. So you see over here again that a days could also mean a month. Amri danin yamim stam mi yamim stam. Ve'in danin yamim stam mi yamim shenehmar ben chodesh. But also, now, it's not a good raya, because by the chodesh, it says chodesh yamim. But unqualified yamim, when it just says yamim, so we see that yamim by itself means what? Means a year. Therefore, when Laban says, v'yomer achiyah v'yima teshev ha'ne'ara itanu yamim, ultimately he's asking for a year to prepare their sister, their daughter, for the wedding. And from here comes the remez that a basula has, 1 year to prepare herself for the wedding.
Fine.
10 months.
Well, I didn't know maybe 10 years.
No, that doesn't make sense. You wouldn't first ask for a year and then it's, if the year's not good, I'll take 10 years afterwards. Oh. So I'm Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera said, Tana, Kitana bein hi bein havia yichol na'akid. And that's another interesting idea. So Rabbi Zera says, a Kitana, both she and her father could delay the wedding. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, the second Rashi on the left-hand side, yichol na'akid. Melisa achetigda. So we'll say, let's say again, so a young girl is promised in marriage, so she can delay her wedding until she becomes a gedola, until she becomes a bogeres, right? Until she becomes an adult woman. So both she and her father could go ahead and delay the wedding until she becomes a gedola. So bishlama ihi masima akla. So I understand why the girl is permitted to delay the wedding. And the reason why this is very interesting is because we've always spent so much time discussing the concept of Kiddushei Ketana, the ability of a father to marry off his daughter. And the truth is, we always wonder about the dynamics or the realities of marrying off a child. So it's interesting. Here the Gemara gives us a real window into this. That Rabbi Zera says, if let's say, again, there was an arranged marriage for a girl, even by her father, the girl could say, I don't want to get married until I become a gedol, until I become an adult woman. And we listen to her. And if the father says, I know I made this arranged marriage, but I do not want my daughter to get married until she's a gedola, he has the ability also to be ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Bishlama ihi matzi ma'akva, I understand why she has the ability to be ma'akev, because she says, listen, I can't get married as a ketan, I can't handle this. Ela aviha, ihi nechale, aviha mai nafkale mine. But for her father, if the girl is willing to get married, why should the father interfere with this? Why should he have the rights to delay the marriage until she becomes a gedola? I must listen to this. Savar, because the father says, Hashtalo yada. She thinks she's ready to get married, but in reality, she's not. And what's going to happen? Lemachar memrida. Tomorrow she's going to rebel against her husband. I'm saying that what that means is she's not going to be able to handle the responsibilities of marital life, of all aspects of marital life, and she's going to, quote-unquote, rebel against her husband. And what's going to happen? V'nafka v'asya v'nafla iluye. And she's going to come back home, and it's going to be my responsibility. So in other words, what the father is saying is, she thinks she's ready. Right? Every parent encounters this, not like this, right, with their kid, right? Where my kid thinks that they could do something, they think they're ready for something. I know as the parent, they're not ready for something, and I know that what's going to happen is if they try it, it's going to blow up in their face, and I'm going to have to pick up the pieces afterwards. So the father says, now sometimes, of course, we know as parents, sometimes you have to let your kids do those things, because those are learning experiences, but sometimes the parent steps in and says, no, I'm not going to let you go ahead and make this terrible mistake. So the father says, I know, even though she thinks she's ready, I know she's not ready, and the chap over here is, it's all going to fall apart, she's going to come back home, it's going to be Mara Sassel, and Rabbo saying, understand, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, member of Nafka, Timro Babaila, Shilotucha Lisbal, Vitezi Vitavoilai, Achitigdal, Vinim Tsesi Tsurk Litachitin Acherim. So the father essentially says, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to make another wedding. Right? I'm going to have to make another wedding, another tachshit. And the truth is, I'm not going to spend my money like this. It's not. So it's both a financial concern as well as a concern for his daughter that she really thinks that she's ready for something that she's actually not. Therefore, I both say, therefore, Rabbi Zeir Paskins, that even if you had a situation where, let's say the Maisa again, that there was Kiddushin, both father and daughter have the ability to tell the husband-to-be that we want to wait to do the Nisuin until she becomes a Gidol, until she becomes a Bogaris.
I thought we learned that they reused the jewelry.
I'm sorry? So I guess there's a situation, maybe he's afraid that she's going to lose it, maybe because she's not going to hold on to it, right? Yes, this whatever the Metzius over here is, he's concerned that he's going to have to do something more a second time. That could be the chilik between an adult woman versus a ketana. Also remember, with a ketana, it could be that she's going to grow. So because she's going to grow, also the tachshit in that fit now, the wedding dress that fits now, might not fit later on.
And to clarify, we're talking between 10 and 12.
That is correct. That is correct, right? This is Kitana. Remember, again, this is Kitana to, well, technically speaking, Kiddushe Kitana could take place technically any time. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to push this ultimately, again, past 12 and a half years old. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Levi. So I'll say, remember again, Avi, also it's important to know, you should just almost say, like, these young marriages, to us, they sound foreign. But just understand, this was done until not so long ago. You know, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was read the Shidduch right after his bar mitzvah. Right after, literally he had his bar mitzvah, and right after that, again, he was married, not right after his bar mitzvah, but not so long afterwards. And again, remember, Rabbi Nachman lived how long ago? 250 years ago? I'm saying like not so long ago. And again, certainly in Sephardic circles as well. So it sounds strange to us, but the Rebbe said this was practiced until not so long ago. I'm Rabbi Abba Bar Levi. This also might be one of the solutions to the tuition crisis. I'm saying, you know, if it suddenly becomes someone else's issue, you know, it's so the Gemara says the following: Amar Rabbi Yehuda, you'll research this option. Perhaps you could. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Levi. So Abba Bar Levi said the following: Ein poskin ala ketanos lahasia kishi ketano. So similarly, Rabbi Abba Bar Levi says that you can't go ahead and ein poskin ala ketanos lahasia kishi ketano. You can't go ahead. If you look at Rashi, he says, "Poskin lasik shikitana shetorech hula." You can't go ahead and literally, you can't create. You should poskin. Lashon poskin is literally like order. I'm sorry.
Set a date.
Set a date. Yeah, you can't push. You should not push the katana to get married when she's a katana. Ava poskin ala katana lasik shikidol. Look at Rashi. Ava poskin bedafka baloki dushin. So we'll say, let's say like this. Set a date. Good. So you can't. You should not set a date for the ketana to get married while she's a ketana. But you can set a date for a ketana to get married when she becomes a gedola. So Rav says, Pshita, okay, what's the chiddush? And Rabbi saying, remember, this is talking about without kiddushin. So we're not doing any kiddushin. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, you could go ahead and you could set a date for kiddushin nisuin for the girl, for even though she's a ketana now, when she becomes a gedola. But you should not set a date for her to get married when she's a ketana. So Rav says, it's interesting. You see already Chazal very much frowning upon the notion of marrying off the ketana. Even though there's a right to do it, there's a technical framework to do it, Chazal are clearly saying it's not the best idea for a variety of reasons. In any event, you could set a date for the marriage when she's a ketana, for her wedding when she's a gedola, but you shouldn't set a date for her marriage as a ketana when she's still a ketana. So the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Obviously, I could set a date for the girl when she's a ketana to get married when she's a gedola. I just can't marry her off when she's a ketana. But more than I thought, I might have thought that perhaps, again, the girl will get nervous and maybe even sick over the idea that she is going to get married the moment she becomes a gedola. Maybe that will weaken her state now, meaning maybe she'll be preoccupied with this notion that she's getting married soon, and literally it'll make her nervous, it'll make her sick. Kamash Malan know that we're not worried about that. Rav Huna said, back to the concept of the Mishnah, Bogra yom echa v'niskatsha. If a girl became a bogeres, even for just one day, meaning she reached the age of 12 and a half, an adult woman, v'niskatsha, and then she did kiddushin, right? Meaning she received kiddushin. So what's the halacha? Nosnin la shloshin yom ka'amana. We give her 30 days to prepare for a wedding like an amana. Now, what's interesting about this is the following, that we give her 30 days from the time, ultimately, again, from the time of Erisin, and we assume that she's going to get, she'll be ready for the wedding within 30 days. Now, what's the logic behind that? If you look at Rashi, as opposed to the year mentioned in the Mishnah, says Rashi, no, it's not yom kamana, mishas Erisin, shekevan shebogrehi mechina tachshitin kodim bagrus, she'ina rotu lishoso. Now, also remember, it was the norm that when would a girl get married? A girl would pretty much get married right around becoming a bogeres, which meant that pretty much every single girl, or perhaps better stated, every single family, would already begin to prepare the tachshitin for the wedding leading up to her bagrus. Because once the girl became bogeres, they would not want an unnecessary delay in her getting married by having to prepare the tachshitin once she found a shidduch. So they began to prepare everything already beforehand. So therefore, once she becomes a bogeres, she's ready to go. Therefore, once erusin occurs, we give her 30 days for any last minute items, and then we marry her off afterwards. So the Gemara says, fine. Mesi, the Gemara is a kasha, bagra hari kitvua. So the Gebraisa says that when a girl becomes a bogeres, she's like someone who's been, kitvua means literally propositioned to be married. She's like someone who the husband said, let's get married. My love, kitvua de besula, does not mean like she's been asked to get married like a besula, which means we give her a year to prepare herself. Lo, kitvua de amana, it means like an amana who is asked by her husband to get married, in which case she has how long, Rabosai? 30 days. Tashma. So we have another Braisa. If you have a bogeres, who was a bogeres already for a year, so she now, again, at this point in time, she's 13 and a half years old. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, hoil v'chayiv baila b'mzonoseha, yafir. So we'll say, so there, since now, we assume over here that what's happened, she's a bogeres, and now the year elapsed since her husband asked her to marry him, and therefore again, at that point in time, if he has not yet married her, since he has to provide for her, mizonos, he also has the right to what? Mm-hmm. To annul her nedarim. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? Now, the reason the Gemara is bringing this case is because what this sounds like is that a bogeres herself has what? Has a year also to be able to prepare. This is a contradiction to what we said before, to which the Gemara says, no, ema bogeres vishesha sashnei masachodesh. No, rather, meaning, read it as two cases. There's the case of bogeres. I will say, remember, a bogeres only gets 30 days, or a woman who, or let's say a ketana, who has gone over the 1 year. So I will say, both of those women, either a ketana after a year, or a bogeres after 30 days, the husband is responsible to support them. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hoil Ubaila Chai B'mzono Se'a Yafer Tashma Hama'aris Is HaBesula. If one does Eris with a Besula Bein She'tava HaBal V'hima Akeves. So we'll say whether the husband says let's get married and she refuses, or Bein She'tava Hi Ubal Ma'akev, or she goes ahead and wants to get married and the husband is one who's dragging his feet. Nosnin la shneimasar chodesh mishas tviya. We give them 1 year to prepare for the wedding from the time that he asks her to get married. Avalo mishas irusin. Rabbi, say, remember again, that clock starts not from irusin, but the clock starts when? From when the husband says to the wife, let's get married. So however, ubagra, avalo mishas irusin. Ubogra, harihi kitavua. And a girl who becomes a bogeres, she is like one who has been asked from the husband to get married. So Kate said, what's the case? Bagra yom echad v'niskatsha. If she became a bogeres for one day, meaning she just turned bogeres, and then she had kiddushin, nos nilosh neim asar chodesh. We give her 12 months to be able to get ready. Ula arusa shloshim yom. And for an arusa, only gets 30 days. We'll discuss that case in just a little bit. But Rav Hosai, what's the point over here? Tiyufta d'Rav Huna tiyufta. So Rav Hosai, we have effectively gone ahead and refuted the position of Rav Huna. Rav Huna was the one who said that a bogeres only gets 30 days. From here, we see that what? It's not true. A bogeres, like any other woman, gets how long? Gets 1 year to be able to prepare herself for the wedding. So Rav Hosai, what comes out is that halacha l'maisa, any besula, whether she's a katana besula or whether she's a bulgaris besula, gets 1 year to prepare herself from the wedding, from the moment that the husband asks her to please begin to get ready for the wedding. So Gemara says, "Maila arusa shloshim yom." What does it mean when it's said that an arusa gets 30 days? Amara papa hachi kamer. This is what it means to say, "Bulgaris sha'avru aleh shnei chodesh bebagrus vinis katsha." No stim la shoshon kamar. I'll say there is one exception to this. The one exception is if a girl is a bogeres and she was in a state of bagrus for a year, and then she has erusin. So we'll say by that point in time, we assume that if she's already been a bogeres for a year, we assume that what? We assume that she has everything she needs to get ready because her father would make sure that she is ready to go as soon as they find the chasen. In that kind of case, where she's already been a bogeres for a year, then halacha lemaisa, we only give her 30 days to be able to get ready for the wedding. So we'll say what comes out of halacha lemaisa is that under normal circumstances, what we'll call in the case of a ketan or even a gedola, a woman has erusin and then her husband asks to get married, she has 1 year to be able to get ready for the wedding. But if she's been a bulgaris already for a year, in which case we assume that Lamaisa, she has everything ready for the wedding, then once Erusin happens, she has 30 days from Erusin to get her things together in order to be able to prepare for the wedding. Higiyaz man v'lo nisu. Supposed to remember again, the Mishnah said that Lamaisa, if the year elapses and they did not yet marry, the husband is obligated to support his wife, and if he is a Kohen, she's permitted to eat truma. Amar Ula Dvar Torah Arusa Basra Ochelas Petruma. So remember, Ula said Midda Oraisa, and Arusa is permitted to eat Truma. And Arusa is a Basra who marries a Kohen, who has the Eris with the Kohen, permitted to eat Truma. Shne Amar, the Kohen Kiyikne Nefesh, Kinyan Kaspo. Because the Pasuk says that when a Kohen acquires someone who becomes a Kinyan, a monetary acquisition, that acquisition is permitted to eat of Truma. And above, I have a high nami kinyan kaspo. But remember again, Lamaisa, this woman who he did erusin with, is also called kinyan kaspo. Because let's remember, erusin is the transactional part of marriage. The transactional part of marriage is accomplished how? By the husband giving the wife money, and therefore, by definition, she is also called kinyan kaspo. She's also called the monetary acquisition, and therefore, Lamaisa again, she is permitted to go ahead and eat truma. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that halacha Lamaisa, an arusa does not eat truma. So ma tam amru eina ocheles. So why do we say if midoraisa an arusa can eat truma? Why do we say that halacha lemaisa an arusa does not eat truma? Shemayim zegula kos beveis avia v'tashke la'acha o la'achosa. Out of a concern, I will say that if we remember, where is she living? Where is she living when she eats truma during erusin? She's living in her father's home. So we're concerned that if her Kohen husband is giving her truma tea, what's going to happen? She's going to share some with her other family members, which of course is unequivocally aser. Ihachi, if that's the case, he gives ma'velo nisu nami. But if that's the case, I don't understand that the Mishnah said after a year, he has to support her. And at that point in time, she can go and eat truma, but she's still living at home. So why doesn't that same concern apply? Hasam duchta miachila. I will say in that case over here, he'll set aside a place for her specifically to eat truma, whether that's in his home or somewhere else. And Lamaisa, she'll only be able to eat the truma in that particular place, but she will not have the license to bring the truma home. If that's the case, she doesn't have the license to bring the truma home, then again, Lamaisa, there's no concern that she will share it with her family members. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tzashem with Elame Ata, Lakit Kohen. And again, remember, we're in the middle of this. We're going to continue with this sugya of an arusa's ability to eat truma and why Chazal ultimately precluded her from doing so.